Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey now, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 32. Talking about the Sharks. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, we're at 32. You know who's number 32 in Sharks history?
Claude Lemieux.
That's right. Current Shark. What about past Sharks?
Claude Lemieux.
There's nobody else.
Artur Zerbe, dude.
Artur Zerbe is correct. Also blast in the past, Kelly Rudy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that one.
Yeah, yeah. And also some role players in Sharks history, Murray Craven and Stephon Matteau, both.
Nice. Nice. Maybe that's Doug Wilson's new reclamation project, Stephon Matteau.
How about Murray Craven? Go way back.
Matteau actually has won a cup.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
He's still playing, isn't he?
No.
Really? Oh, okay.
No.
I could be wrong.
Stephon Matteau?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Maybe he's on the Flames. Someone call Mike Keenan.
They're like the junior Sharks over there.
I think he's in charge of slicking back Mike Keenan's hair on the bench. He always looks so smooth, Mike Keenan.
Yes, he does.
That's the key to their success, you know.
The hair gel.
The hair gel.
Yes.
Can't get enough hair gel.
Absolutely right.
Yep. If they let Sean Avery keep talking in that press conference, he was going to go for that joke next.
Yeah, that was right after the sloppy seconds joke. But Sharks had kind of a tough week. They had their second regulation loss at home of the season.
Trade them all.
Let's blow it up. Get everybody out. Joe Thornton's no playoff performer, as we talked about last week. This guy sucks.
Terrible.
No, but they lost to a very capable, more than capable, Chicago Blackhawk team. And
the rivalry of the future.
That's right. I believe you've called that.
We're going to see this. We talked about this last year on the blog where I even posed the question, who'd you rather?
Yeah.
If you would rather be a Blackhawks fan, have the Blackhawks roster or the Sharks roster, which one's better?
Yeah.
It's a tough call, dude.
It's a real tough call. I mean, because right now the Sharks are better. There's almost no question about it. But 2 years...
No question about it?
I think there's no question about it.
Oh,
Sharks are ahead in the series.
Yes.
And
they've been close,
and they've been good. But still, I would rather have Joe and Patty than Kane and Taves right now. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes.
I agree with you, but I think that it's a tough call. It would give me pause a little bit to have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe is so dominant that he's beyond where Taze probably, I don't want to say ever can be, because of Joe's size.
Mm-hmm.
And he can just dominate behind the net. But when you look at their blue line.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
Keith, huh? Seabrook, Strawberry Shortcake, you know, Brian Campbell. He was booed every time he touched the puck. I think he got booed even more this time than he did in the last game we played against the Blackhawks at home. So
I saw him before the second period click his skates together and say, "There's no place like home." His mom came and brought him some cookies. I'm so glad to be home. Hi, Joe. Can I come sleep in your guest room?
Is it in my old room again? Yeah, that was a little strange. You know, it seems like it's sort of gaining momentum, this hating on Brian Campbell.
Why?
I don't really get it either.
I don't care.
Yeah. I mean...
We have a better player.
I just think about it like that. Right, exactly.
He wasn't there.
If we still had Brian Campbell, that means we wouldn't have Dan Boyle. And I'd rather have Dan Boyle. So for me, it's an upgrade.
For sure. We should be cheering him. We should have a parade.
We should have a redheaded parade.
We should have a redheaded parade, because also you got to think about this... Sharks fans, if you're one of the people booing Brian Campbell, Brian Campbell is also responsible for the departure of Steve Bernier.
That's
just
right.
Think of all the lineup clogging he'd be doing right now.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't you miss his 24 points? He's such a physical presence.
Yeah.
He really blossomed next to the Sedin twins.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear John Stamos is dating Daniel Sedin? That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. That's a new rumor, huh?
Oh, wait. I meant the Olsen twins. Sorry.
Oh.
I get them confused. they're both so thin and frail.
But anyway, we should talk a little bit about the Chicago game.
One of them has a goatee, too.
Is that Mary-Kate or Ashley?
Daniel.
Okay. Excuse me. But the Sharks, they had a horrible first shift. Gotch was going to get called for a penalty, but they scored in the delayed call. It was just sort of a comedy of errors in the first minute of the game.
He got 2 minutes for holding. I mean, it was more like hugging.
Yeah. Well, it didn't get called because they scored.
Yeah.
So it actually didn't appear on the score sheet, but he would have gotten called. And then there was sort of a mix-up at the bench or something. It was just a mess. And then the second goal was that, and then there was this whole craziness with a four-minute high-sticking call, and then they seemed to talk to everybody but Santa Claus. I mean, that was a huge, long delay there. They talked to, they had to be on the phone with the war room, and I don't know, the deal was, it was a high-sticking, and the linesman saw it, but the ref didn't, and
What's the rule, dude? Because I know you know the rule.
Okay, so the rule is that the linesman can call a major or a four-minute call. Linesman cannot call minor penalties, but he can't blow the whistle, which is the weird part of it. So he thought he saw a four-minute high-sticking call. Chichu went to the bench, he went to the locker room, and play continued because the linesman can't blow the whistle. The Blackhawks score. Then that's when the linesman clued in the referees. They had to talk to Toronto and all these guys. They had to bring Chichu out of the locker room to see if he was cut, which he was. Therefore, the four-minute call was in effect. Call went up on the board. Goal disallowed because it happened after the penalty. So the funny thing is that if Chichu wasn't cut, the goal would have stood. Two completely unrelated events, one causing the other.
Bleed, you Chichu, bleed.
JR was in the locker room stabbing Chichu with a butter knife.
Hold sure. still, Chichu, for videotaping this for my blog.
Yeah, RonickLife.com. Catch my next video. But I'd pay to see that. If that was on
You'd
Ronick
pay Life. To see JR stabbing Chichu in the locker room?
As long as it wasn't too hard.
Get him to bleed for a penalty?
Yeah.
It worked. We scored, but it still wasn't enough.
As some people may know, I actually am a co-host on a Sharks radio call-in show on Sunday nights, and we had Joe Pavelski this past
Good week. Stuff, dude. I liked listening to it.
Thank you. And we pulled a little clip because it's Joe Pavelski actually talking about the second goal, which was unfortunately a shorthanded goal with Christopher Stieg. So here's the clip. Joe, we got to talk about the unfortunate shorthanded goal that happened with Christopher Stieg there. And it looked like there was a sort of an interesting play. There was a delayed call with Erhoff, and it looked like maybe Versteeg might have skated past you or Mahalik. Was that kind of a, I got it, you got it, nobody's got to play? Or maybe you can take us through what happened on that play from your perspective.
Yeah, it's a play, definitely. I've been on both ends of those now. And it's a play I'd like to have back. It might have been a changing point in the game. It's one of those plays of, those are one of the things as a defenseman or playing the point. You know, I gotta understand those, and sometimes you gotta learn those lessons through experience, which you never want to. And I let up a little bit there, and didn't really realize he was behind me, and then all of a sudden it happened so quick, you can't recover on something like that. And definitely a play you'd like to have back.
So Joe took full responsibility for
he
that.
He manned
one.
Up. Yeah. There's no other sport you could see that happening.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If Manny Ramirez drops a fly ball, is he gonna admit to you that he made an error?
It's Manny being Manny.
I've been on both sides of that play. You yeah. see Manny Ramirez saying that?
No.
He'd already be in the shower.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? Dude, this is so off topic.
Okay.
because we can't help but, well, for me, I know Mike doesn't really give a rat's about other Bay Area sports, most, okay?
Unfortunately, true.
You used to be an A's fan back in when you were on roids.
Niners more than anything.
Okay, well, Niners, you know, but we're not going to talk about that. I read a thing about Manny Ramirez that I guess that when he watches tape in the locker room, he sits in like the community chair in front of the VCR or the DVR, naked, watching tape.
Oh.
In the chair that everybody uses.
Dude, so like his stuff is like where everybody else sits.
That's right. So,
wow.
And it's brings a new meaning to the term recliner.
Well, that's a good story, dude. Thanks.
Thanks. Well, I don't even know why I thought about that. So let's talk about Jordan Tutu.
Yeah. Maybe you were thinking about him. But anyway, Pavelski manned up. You know, it was nice to hear. And if you want to hear the rest of the interview, you can find it at chompboard.com/chomptalk. You can get the podcast of last week's show and listen to the other fantastically illuminating questions that we asked him. Actually,
it was a good interview.
It wasn't that bad.
It was a good interview.
It wasn't
dude.
That bad. So it was good time. So give it a listen. And so, you know, the Sharks sort of were in a hole at that. The ice seemed to tip after the shorty, and the Sharks managed to, they sort of got some urgency real late in the third, but they seemed to be missing a lot of scoring urgency there for a lot of the middle of the game, and they ended up losing.
When you're playing a good team, you can't replace Boyle and Lukovic with Semenov and Joslin. Nothing actually, I hate to say it, but Semenov...
It's alive! It's alive!
Has been playing better, dude.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. I don't know. He even had an article in the Mercury News about him.
Really?
He did. Where he said getting on the ice is making him better. I think the exact quote was, brain work better, more play time, brains.
Hungry brains. Yeah.
he's actually been decent. And Jocelyn's been fine.
Yeah.
And we've seen, you know, in glimpses how he could be a capable third pairing defenseman.
I think he could be even better. I mean, the kid's, he's 21 years old and he's played 10 NHL games and he's holding his own. That's pretty good.
But he's they're not Lukovic and Boyle.
Absolutely
and
not.
Most mainly, dude, they're not Boyle.
They're not Boyle. They're
and
not
that
Boyle.
Not having him there on Saturday night was just, it was a murder.
That's
and
the
you
killer.
Could see it in the way the team played. Because the difference between how Phoenix approached the Sharks and the Blackhawks is Phoenix sits back, Chicago takes it to you, you need Boyle.
That's right. And I think, you know, we could definitely beat a team like the Coyotes without Boyle. But with Chicago, that becomes a pretty tall order, and we saw it. Especially since Chicago got crushed the Thursday before in L.A. They lost 5-2 or something like that. Obviously, they did not want to lose two in a row there because they shouldn't have lost against the Kings. So they were ready. They were ready for us. And after that rough start and the bad play there, it was the Sharks were facing pretty uphill battle and they didn't manage to surmount it. So
I've got a feeling that we're going to have to go through Chicago this year.
Yeah. It seems like we're going to have to go through everybody. The West is so up for grabs. You never know who we're going to miss, but the 4-5, yeah, we could be seeing Chicago in the second round. If they stay in the four and the Sharks win, then as long as everybody else wins, then we could be facing Chicago in the second round. That could be really, really rough. So, as you said, the Coyotes game, kind of boring.
Kind of, dude. Kind of boring. Yeah. That's like saying Jessica Simpson passed at the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Dude,
have you seen some pictures of her lately?
Dude.
Come on, dude.
Dude.
It's like the Pillsbury Doughboy put on some mama jeans.
Oh, brutal.
And started
dude.
Singing some country songs.
Ouch.
Come on.
So
dude.
Rough.
Dude, she's like Ken Klee.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We're great. Talking about Ken Klee. Looked a little heavy.
Looked a little big, didn't he? Looked a little girthy.
Maybe that's why he got waived. He's like the Steve Bernier of defense.
Oh, man.
It's on his third team.
Yeah. It's true.
Dude, Phoenix, that was boring. I was so disappointed. I thought this might be like a real in-your-face attacking type game. What were they doing, man?
Yeah, when we played Phoenix before, they were really trying to hustle. They were trying to cycle it low. They got all the kids involved. The kids were almost invisible in this game. You know, Mueller and Bodker and Turris and all these great young players, they weren't really doing that much. It seemed like Shane Doan was definitely involved. Like, he was trying to stir things up. You know, you saw some pushing and shoving matches with him, and he was definitely trying to get his team involved. But Phoenix just didn't have any jump. I don't know what they were missing.
You hear the rumor he might be traded. That's what I heard.
I started that one. Yeah.
There was no physicality to the game, really. It was boring. They sat back. Oh, well, Vancouver almost beat the Sharks by playing conservatively. Maybe we should play conservatively, too. What do you say, great one?
I'm yelling. I'm getting mad on the bench. Yeah.
Hey, he was too busy trying to figure out the prop bets for the Super Bowl.
You should just ask his wife. He doesn't have to do anything about that. Yeah,
it's disappointing. And Phoenix is in a big slide right now. And now in that 11-way tie for the sixth seed between everybody. Like, yeah. I think even the Winnipeg Jets are tied for the sixth seed, and they don't even exist anymore.
That's right. I think you're right. And speaking of another bubble team is the Carolina Hurricanes, which is the Sharks' next opponent. They're ninth in the East right now. They're 1 point out of the playoffs, so this is a bubble team. You know, they've been, at least in terms of the NHL radar, they've been pretty invisible. I mean, they're not in a big hockey market. I'm sure they have plenty of very loyal fans in Carolina, but... You know, that's not a team a lot of people pay attention to. And to be perfectly honest, I haven't been paying that much attention to them.
I DVR'd the game tonight against Vancouver just because I wanted to see them before they play us. But I don't think I've really watched them at all, like a full game this year, because I'm just not really that interested in watching trash.
I can't imagine this being... a game that the Sharks would lose.
They're not a bad team. They're not a good team.
Right.
But they're playing well right now. They've won 4 out of 5. Don't know what happened tonight in Vancouver. So they could come in on a roll.
But they don't score a lot of goals.
No.
So, you know, the Sharks can just sort of outpower them maybe on the score sheet. That's what we're hoping.
I'm hoping it's not going to be a repeat of the Phoenix and Vancouver games. I think the strategy is going to be the same, but I could see the Sharks just totally busting out on Thursday night. How about, say, I'm going to go 5-1.
5-1. Okay, a 4-goal. That's pretty good, you know, because that's going to be Boyle's return. You know, there could be some joyfulness there because we've definitely seen how much the Sharks miss Boyle. So and then they're on a big long road trip starting with Columbus on Sunday. So that's another game that's going to be really tough.
Scary.
Yeah.
That's a scary game.
Yeah.
Columbus freaks me out. If they're the 8 seed and we're the 1, that's the last team I want to see out of that group that's sort of bunched up right now. I'd rather see Dallas, I'd rather see Vancouver, I'd rather see Minnesota, Edmonton. I'd rather see any of those teams than
Phoenix,
Nashville, any of those teams than Columbus. Columbus got a hot young goalie. They remind me a lot of the Sharks team that beat Detroit and Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
hardworking, good goaltending. They could upset somebody. That's not totally out of bounds to say that.
Or they could take a team real far and put a big crimp in it, because usually the team that wins the Stanley Cup has pretty quick and easy first round. So they could really put a big dent in that, like Calgary did for the Sharks last year. So that I don't want to see a repeat performance of a long slog 7-game series against the first round opponent. I don't want to see that.
Come on, Minnesota.
And plus, the Sharks could be looking ahead to the following week where they play Boston, which is the only time this season those two teams play each other. Best in the East, best in the West.
The return of Thunder Joe.
That's right.
That's going to be a very emotional game. I can't wait to watch that game.
That's
going to
be the absolute must-watch game of the month.
We'll be podcasting right after that game, dude.
I think we will. Yeah, that's going to be great. So I really look forward to talking about that game and all of its gory detail next week, so tune in for that.
Dude, beers during the game?
Absolutely. It makes the podcast so much better, too.
Absolutely.
When I'm slurring and not making any sense, then you wouldn't be able to tell from normal. But theoretically, I would be worse. Okay, so I know you wanted to talk about Chichu. That's what I got here next on my list. We talked about it a little bit on the radio show last week. You know, it's trade rumor season, right? We got the moving on up segment later in the show. It's trade rumor season. Is Chichu going to be dealt? You know how I feel. I don't think the Sharks should make a move here, but you have other thoughts. Bring it.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to be dealt. I'm saying if anyone is going to be dealt, he's the one. He has the most attractive deal. He's got 2 years left. He's got value. He could still have that label of being a top line player on a team that needs some help. You know, like he couldn't go in and be on the top line in, you know, what you and Chathan were talking about, Ray Whitney for Chichu. It's going to be that type of deal, I think, was the only thing that makes sense to me, where a player's coming back to the Sharks with an expiring contract and he's an impact player who could play well in the playoffs for the Sharks. In return, they're trading Chichu, who's, you know, now on the third line, and he has $3 million deal for the next 2 years, and that money needs to be spent re-signing Ryan Clough. They're going to have to pay Setoguchi eventually. They got to pay Mitchell. They got to pay Pavelski eventually. Mm-hmm. So they need that money. And is Chichu worth $3 million to the Sharks right now? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a tough call. But my thing is, you got a guy that has some value. I don't want to trade him for Reynolds right now. I don't think the Sharks need somebody. They've traded for Reynolds the last 2 years. Brian Campbell last year. Bill Guerin the year before. I want to see the Sharks do it again. They're thin on the draft board. If they're going to trade somebody, they should trade for picks and players and prospect or prospects. That's what I mean. Because I don't want to see a guy playing 8 to 12 weeks on the Sharks and then leaving, and then the Sharks are without another asset, and now they got to go and try to replace that asset again in the offseason. So
Sharks are so deep, though, with McGinn kind of waiting to take that spot next year.
That's right.
That I don't see it as them really losing. They've got an asset that they need to trade. They need to move one of these forwards in order to get somebody who can help them more now. And as much as I like Chichu, I'm not advocating for his dismissal here.
Yeah. Sounds like you are.
Well, no, I'm just saying that if Doug Wilson's going to make a trade, And I think we've pretty much established in the last couple of weeks that we think they're not going to.
Yeah.
That we think that Claude Lemieux was the deadline deal, and that the comeback of Torrey Mitchell and Lukowicz is going to be enough of a...
And JR.
It's going to be enough of a splash for this team that they've already got enough roster decisions to make. But if they decided to make a move, he's probably the logical one to go. So there you have it, Mike.
We'll see. We'll see. If you have a take on that, Sharks fans, make sure to email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com. And speaking of that, we have an email here from a loyal fan, Jake. And he says, dude, so at the game against the Coyotes were called a penalty for delay of game at the faceoff. I've never seen this before in a game. How do you get a delay of game in the faceoff dot? Well,
they should have been called for delay of game that whole game.
Yeah. How about boring game? 2 minutes for boring game. Ugh. Well, actually, you know, Jake, it is in the rule book, and you know how much I love looking up this stats crap. And it says here, rule 76.6. When at least two face-off violations have been committed by the same team during the same face-off, this team shall be penalized with a bench minor penalty to the offending team. The penalty shall be announced as bench minor penalty for delay of game. So that's the rule. It's a little known rule. Don't see it that often, but that's what it was. See one guy get tossed, can't have two. So there it is.
There it is, dude.
There it is. But actually, Jake has a trivia question. And as longtime listeners of this show know, we love hockey trivia.
We do?
I love hockey trivia.
Yes, you do.
And so Jake asks, with Nabby having back-to-back shutouts, who currently holds the record for most consecutive shutouts and how many? Now that Nabby has consecutive shutout record for the Sharks, who has the consecutive shutout record for the NHL and how many? And he says, it should be an easy one for you boys. It's an easy one for me.
Dude, I'm going to go with Chris Terreri.
Chris, excellent call, dude, but just a little bit off. Just a little bit off.
Can I get another guess?
He was a like Chris Terreri, he's a Sharks backup goalie.
Wade Flaherty.
Also close, but no cigar.
Okay.
Close, but no cigar.
Can I get another guess, dude?
Okay, one more.
Dmitri Patsold.
Yeah, I don't think he's
Brian Boucher, dude.
Yeah,
it's Brian Boucher.
Dude, yeah, Brian Boucher had five consecutive shutouts with the Phoenix Coyotes about 3 or 4 years back, and it was an amazing streak. And another Sharks reclamation project who worked out great. And so you gotta give props to the Water Boy because that might be a record that's gonna stand for quite a while.
That suspense didn't last very long though in the Chicago game. Boy, I wonder if Nabby's gonna get the shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Exactly.
It is true.
Wasn't good. But let's get to the segment that we premiered last week called Moving On Up. This is a segment where we're gonna be talking about which players may be traded between now and the deadline. But not your normal players that you see in all the rumor sites. We're talking off the beaten path players.
That's right, dude. I've got a couple of off the beaten path players here that I think could possibly be headed to a new team. And I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball right here, dude.
Sounds
good. I'm going to throw you a little bit of curveball. I think you're expecting one thing. I'm going to show you another.
Okay.
The Nashville Predators
mm-hmm.
are going to trade a defenseman.
Shea Weber.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. I think the Nashville Predators are going to trade Greg Zanin, which is mm-hmm. a name that is not really sexy. But he's a good player.
He's a good player.
Nashville needs they need young forwards bad.
Radulov? Maybe they can trade for Radulov.
They're in deep trouble as far as, you know, you look at their forward core that they've got locked up for the next 3 years, you know, Erat, Legwand, Dumont. I mean, that's not exactly
Dude, that David
thrilling.
Legwand deal is brutal now.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough. They need to get a young forward. If they could even, you know, a team that's starved for defense, you could maybe offer Zanin to Ottawa for Met. I mean, they might be interested in making a deal like that. Nashville needs some sort of infusion of offense. So they're going to trade a defenseman at the deadline. I think Zanin or Ham Hughes will be the likely targets. DeVries is too easy to say.
Mm-hmm.
He's for sure gone.
He's been around.
But one of those two guys that's a good player, has a lot of potential. to have a good NHL career is going to be gone. I've got one more here for you, dude.
Alrighty.
This one, dude, is going to shock, surprise, and amaze you.
All right.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Is going to trade.
Steve Downey.
Ryan Malone.
What?
Dude.
Wow.
Dude.
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 That's right, dude. I'm saying they're going to trade Ryan Malone because like that's worked out real well.
Yeah. I guess it hasn't. But that contract's untradeable.
It's pretty brutal.
It's like trading Daniel Briere. You can't trade him.
Well, Malone's deal is a little bit more movable than that.
It's a little bit
easier. And there were a lot of people reportedly, according to rumor sites, that were in on Ryan Malone. So if you were willing to give him 4.5 in the offseason, are you still willing to do it now?
Maybe. Maybe. That's an interesting pick, dude. I can't imagine that happening, but you went bold on that one.
I'm going bold, big, and beautiful. Dude, I am so excited for our trip coming up back east.
Yeah, we're going to New Jersey.
We're going to try and get on NHL Live.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Dude, I just want to be in the background at the very least, but EJ's back. I love EJ. Yeah, you can say what you want about EJ, but that show is much more entertaining with EJ.
Yeah, I like Neil Smith, though, too. I decided I like Neil Smith.
It's a great show either way, but...
Well, the trench coat's already packed, so I'm ready for NHL Live.
What does that mean? You're going to flash him?
Hey, you'll just have to watch.
The trench coat is packed. What else is in your suitcase?
You have to watch and find out.
I open up your suitcase and you've got like a trench coat, some creatine, and like Wesson oil.
Yeah, exactly.
What is up with that? Hello, NHL store.
You'll just have to find out.
2 minutes for perversion for you, dude.
I think that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. You can check us at our blog out on the web at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And make sure to tune in next week, same time, same place.
You are penalized for a trench coat.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.